title this morning is The Enemy's Help, Part 16. I wish I knew how to say that 16 in Spanish, but I never learned to count that high. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. I got six, so then add 10 to it, it's 16. Amen? Praise God. It's February 3rd already, the first Sunday of February. Can you believe that? Can you believe that Christmas is only... Oh, I won't go there. You're all going, don't even go there yet. I know, we got to get through the warm summer because this has been too cold for me. Amen? I had enough of the cold. We sent it over to Michigan. They got snowstorms and freezing below 20. We like that for them. Amen. They got winter coats. We don't carry those around here. Thanks. Amen. But this morning, we're going to finish our series on The Enemy's Help, Part 16. And we said last week that we should have our covenant relationships. When we get in our covenant relationships, we should use those to take down the enemy. We have a covenant relationship. When you get married, it's a covenant relationship. When you are in alignment with Jesus and you accept Him as Lord and Savior, you get in covenant with Jesus. It's a covenant relationship. And we ought to use those relationships to be able to beat the devil. Because sometimes it's hard to do it on our own. Sometimes we need our covenant partner, the one that's protecting us, the one that stands with us to help us eventually take down the enemy. We said last week that the second Adam bomb, which is Jesus, he was known as the second Adam. He was the second Adam bomb, and he came to level the playing field for you and for me. We also said your battles in life, this is the key, your battles in life will be determined how you think. If you think you can't, you won't. If you think you can, you will. It's on all of what's inside your mindset here. We got to become and do what God's called us to do. And when you start doing things God's way, you become that way. When you start thinking, that's why you got to get into the Word, because it will change your thinking. It'll get you onto the right course of thinking. You ought to know by now that God's already created greatness in you. It's been locked up inside of you, and God's just tumbling the locks. Every time He tumbles a lock, it moves another way. You get another to a whole other level with the things of God. But when the devil comes to attack you, you got to learn to use your tools, your connections, the people that God's put in your life strategically, so that you can beat the devil. The other thing we said is when you're in a covenant relationship, that's the time where you're most intimate. Those are the things you tell your most intimate secrets. God wants to tell you His most intimate secrets. He wants to tell you about His Word. He wants to share some strategies with you so that you have the victory. He wants to give you the blueprints so that you don't step into landmines of the world. Amen? We said that the level of difficulty you face in battle is an indicator of the greatness that's in your life and in your family's life. The difficulty that you face, the greater that battle is an indicator of the more the greatness that's inside of you. And remember, the enemy is after your destiny. The devil wants to stop you from your destiny. He wants you to fall short of what God's called you to do. But it's time for you and I to rise. It's time for you and I to get on the offense and put the devil on the defense. Today's Super Bowl Sunday, there's two teams that are going to play, the 49ers and the Ravens. I don't care who wins. I don't even care about the game. I wish people would get as excited as the game as they would for Jesus. Post-game, pre-game, this game, media day, weeks. I know a couple friends that are going, and they spent $18,000 for two tickets. But then they don't go to church, they don't tithe, so they've been saving up. But we're all hyped up about the game and who's going to win and the strategies and, you know, who's going to be on offense and who's going to be on defense and who's trying. You know, I got a defender named Jesus. Amen. He's my advocate. He's my best friend. And he says that we ought to just put the devil on. We should ought to put him on notice and let him know that he's under our feet. When we start talking about the devil, we should be looking down and say, devil, you're still under my feet. Because you had the victory in Christ Jesus. So this morning, I just want to share a few tactics with you, how to foil the enemy that tries to come into your life. And we've been studying in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the New King James Version, 2 Corinthians 4:17. We spoke about this for 15 weeks. This is week 16. And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, for our light affliction. In other words, you're going to go through some things, which is but for a moment. But here's the thing about a moment. You can stay in a moment a lot longer than God chooses you to stand in that moment. God wants you to get you through it as quick as possible. You remember when they had, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember those guys, and they threw them in the furnace? Remember that? And they didn't burn up because there was a fourth one that looked like there was somebody else in there with them. You notice they didn't stay in there for a long time. They just were in there and they didn't burn up, and then they came back out and they didn't smell like smoke. Well, that's what God wants. God wants you just to go through some stuff. He'll allow you to go through, but he doesn't want you to stay there so that you get the stench of the smoke. But you'll be there. It might be a light affliction. It may just be for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. And while we do not look at things that are seen, but things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Things that are not seen. See, there's a lot of things I don't see, but I know God's looking out for me, and he's looking out for you. So this morning, I want to share with you just a few tactics that we can use to make sure that we have the victory, that give us the assurance of what God has told us. And the first area I want to share with you, the first tactic is quiet faith. Quiet faith. Oh, quiet faith, Pastor. The best way to silence your critics is not to respond. Uh-oh. Sometimes it's best to say nothing. Responding just fuels the fire and makes you look small. So sometimes people are going to pick on you because you're, and when you don't respond, it's going to agitate them even more. Because see, you got to remember the position that you're in. You're in the position of authority. You're in the position of victory. You already have won. You already have Christ Jesus that's on your side. He's already defended you. See, there is a time and there is a place to be loud and shout down the devil. But often the greatest faith is silent. Sometimes being alone with God and being silent with him is where God wants you to be. Sometimes he'll sanction you off just so that you'll spend some time with him. He'll allow some things to push you into that prayer closet so that you'll be alone with him. Sometimes he allows circumstances in situations in my job where it's overwhelming and I just have to shut my door and say, guys, I need a moment alone. And I have to get in there with God and say, God, what do I do? I got these circumstances. Say, what do I respond to first? How do I handle this, Lord? Give me the word, the knowledge. And then I come out and I got the answer. But I have to silence everything around me. Take a look at Matthew 26, verse 62. Matthew 26, verse 62 and 63, and it's the New King James Version. The Bible says this, and the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept on running his mouth and telling them the way it was going to be. Isn't that what that says? And Jesus talked a lot and spoke to them, right? Isn't that what it says? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Many times it's better not to answer critics because it's a trap. They want to trap you. The media is great at entrapping people in their words, cutting only snippets of what someone said that they didn't really say, taking it out of context. Writing it down, but didn't really say. I mean, I remember I was interviewed one time and they had put down something in the paper and it wasn't exactly the way I said it. So See, we don't want to get caught. Sometimes we just have to have quiet faith. Sometimes when everything's coming around us, that we just need to be quiet before the Lord. Hebrews 11:30 says this. Hebrews 11:30 says, By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they encircled for 7 days. The first 6 days that there was that the walls of Jericho, a very tall tower. For 6 days, they walked around it and they were silent. They didn't shout. They didn't scream. What they did is they quietly petitioned God the first 6 days. Now, I couldn't imagine a whole bunch of us getting together and be silent for 6 days. That'd be a miracle. Hallelujah. But they did. They were obedient. And obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings pain. Disobedience slows down or stops what God wants to do. But the Bible says by quiet faith, the walls of Jericho came down after they encircled. Because what? After the seventh day, God says, I want you to lift up your voices and make a praise. And he moved on the people's behalf. See, when the enemy comes knocking, you need to fall to your knees and declare your faith in God. Submit to him and keep silent. But when the walls come falling down, when the issues start to fall away, when everything begins to fade away, it's time for you to give glory. This morning, let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Let's take 5 seconds and give the Lord some praise this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you are in our lives. Thank you for helping us, strengthening us, giving us encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for giving us clear minds. Thank you for healing us, Lord God. Think about those people walking around, just quiet. 6 days. And then on the seventh day, man, they had all that built up, and then they began to shout, and the walls came down. Think about the walls in your life that are going to come down when you get quiet with God for a while, and then you eventually get to speak out loud, and those things go away. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. Amen. Tactic number two, pick your battles. I'm learning as I get older, there's certain things to fight for and certain things just to leave alone. Because the enemy will let you swing and fight all day long so that you accomplish nothing except wearing yourself out. I don't worry about all your problems when you give prayer requests. I don't worry about any of them. I lift them up to God. I'm good. It's on his shoulders. Now, his shoulders are a lot bigger than mine. Mine had shoulder surgery, so they're still not 100% yet. And I'm not carrying your load. It's not my responsibility. God's going to take care of it for you. So how do you pick the right battle? Because I ask God, well, Lord, how do I know which one do I go when I go fight? When do I open my mouth and when do I just sit with quiet faith? And I want to fight some people sometimes. It's just like, you ignorant. I mean, you know, you don't want me to watch TV too much because I watch ignorance. It doesn't even line up with the Word of God. What are you thinking? What are you doing? If there's nothing gained, in other words, you're not going to get any spoils from the fight, don't fight. In other words, if it's going to expand the kingdom of God, if it's going to do honor for God, you might think about getting in that discussion. But if they're criticizing you, putting you down, belittling you, maybe you don't need to say a word because you know the truth. Second question I'd ask myself, first one is, if there's nothing gained, don't fight. If the situation threatens me or my family's destiny or blocks our purpose or our future, then I got to consider engaging in that argument. If it doesn't, I got to let it go. But always pray and always be humble. If there's no win, then walk away. Because no matter what people think or no matter what people say, Jesus is still your vindicator. Jesus is still your advocate. I don't give a lick of what people think about me. I don't care if they say, well, you don't got this and you ain't got that, or you don't dress a certain way, or your hair color's this, or your shoes are that, or, you know, you're overweight, you're underweight, you're this weight, you're this, that, doom, ding, you know, you don't speak Spanish, you do speak Spanish. I don't really give a hoot. Just don't pollute. Because I've got somebody. See, I know my relationship, covenant relationship with God is so strong that Jesus is on my side. He's going to take care of me. I got a helpmate over here. She helps me. She's looking out for my best interest. And she's just a person in the flesh that God's given me. How much more will Jesus do for me? How much more? God already said you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. That means it's all yours. I don't know if you know what heir means. Heir means that you get everything that's in line. If God is the King of Kings, I'm a king's kid. See, the enemy, you got to understand, will use useless battles to get you off focus and tire you out so that when the real battle comes, he knocks you down. See, most of us are too busy filing these little things and worried about these things that are happening in the world. I don't worry about these things in the world. Don't you worry about your stock progresses or this or that? I said, no, God told me where to put those stocks, and those aren't going down. And if it all goes away, oh well. My God shall supply just a couple of my needs, right? That's what the Bible says. He'll just do everything but what I really need, right? Isn't that what he said? He shall supply all my needs. So I'm not going to get into any fights or arguments. I'm going to walk away from circumstances and situations when people are talking about me. Or when they're talking about you. Or they're going to say, well, you know, you'll never amount to nothing. You can't do that. Your business will never succeed. You've been working on it for 10 years. I've heard people say, how many people you got in your church? You're going to have a 10-year anniversary. How many people you have? I said, just enough. Well, you're not successful unless you have several hundred people. I was looking for that in the Bible. Success is how many people in the church. If one got saved in 10 years, it's successful in God's eyes. I don't worry about it. I know that I can be hard on you. I know that I preach the word. And I can water it down, and I can sugarcoat it, and I can do 19 programs for you and fill up all the church. But then I got to do the counseling from the damage control. If you go to any big churches, there's counselors, plural, a multitude. Why? Because if the word isn't getting taught from the pulpit, you're going to have a whole bunch of people in your office. Oh, look out. Think about that. Because if you ain't preaching the truth from the pulpit, then people can't change. If you sugar it down, water down, and you cause gray area, then people want to come and say, well, he did this and she did this and you referee. I ain't referee. God's in charge. I'm not taking God's standard and lowering it down. I'm going to hold you up to that standard and say, that's the standard you got to get to, man. I didn't write the book. But I got to follow the book. The footstool. Let's talk about the footstool. Somebody see me bring this in earlier. This is going to be my footstool. It's like an ottoman, but it's not. Amen? Footstool. The Bible says use the enemy as a footstool. And a footstool is more than a piece of furniture or a place to rest your feet. See, a footstool takes you to levels where you can't reach on your own. See, I can only go so high on this, right? But once I get my footstool that won't slip and slide, amen, hallelujah, I can reach a little higher, right? I can get a little higher up. I can touch something that I couldn't touch before. We have footstools at home, those little metal ones that fold up and there's two levels, and you can go for your cupboards, because sometimes they put the cupboards up so high you can't reach them. You need a footstool to reach them. You need some way to get up there and get what you need to get. Well, see, God's trying to tell you is use the enemy as a footstool, because he's going to take you to levels that you can't get to, and you need to step on the devil a little bit. Come on. You need to step on a little bit to get to where you need to go. You need to spring off his back a little bit. Acts 2 verse 34 says this. Acts 2 verse 34. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he said to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God uses the enemy as a footstool to lift you to the next level for his purpose in your life. You go through new levels. And I used to say, new levels, no new devils. But that would be not true now. I have to recorrect myself. When I go to a new level, I expect a new devil because the new devil is going to push me to the next new level. I'm expecting to get pushed and prodded a little bit. If you ever watch The Biggest Loser, when you see them starting, they're all falling off the treadmills and puking in the corner and all that. But they're pushing them to their next level. There's some endurance that they haven't done anything. They've been sitting around eating ice cream and bonbons, amen. And now it's time, you know, that they push themselves to a whole nother level. Watching those tapes on exercise, oh yeah, and eating a bag of chips, man, it just wasn't working. So they had, you know, I kept on playing rerun, and I just wasn't losing it until I got off the table and the chair and pushed things away. I pushed the table away with my stomach because I was so big, and then I had to go out and exercise. I could no longer rest my feet on the footstool anymore. I had to go out and get pushed to the next level. You think Julie and Michaels and them, they push these people to another, and then they can see that, wow, I can do it. And they look back and say, man, I remember when I was like that, but look how far I've come. And the distance of what you used to be to where you are today is so far. Where you were last year, if you look back into where you are today, is miles. Huge difference. That means you've gone to some new levels, and you're using the devil as a footstool or a springboard to go to your next level. Your tests and your trials takes you to a whole new level. Didn't we say in 2 Corinthians this morning that you're going to go through some light affliction? It's only for a moment, but you can stay there as long as you want, but God doesn't want you to stay there long. He wants you to get what you need to get and get out. Why? Because he's got some more things for you to get. Which ties into number 4. Study the Word. Study the Word. Now I said, God, that's a great tactic. I mean, that's a basic thing. He says, yeah, but there's something more about studying the Word. And I said, what's that? He says, you can experience life or you can learn it through what someone else has already experienced. Let me say that again. You can experience life, hard knocks, or you can learn it through someone else's experiences. Some things you can only learn by experience, and I understand that. But many times God places people in your lives to help you avoid the pitfalls in your life. And when you read the Word, there have been men and women that have gone things through the Bible, and you look at their lives and you see how they accomplish those things, that should give you some insight what to do and what not to do. You should take heed to that. Experiencing life sometimes takes time. And God wants to get you faster and beyond where you're at today to somewhere else where he wants to take you based on someone else's wisdom. God teaches us time and time again that there will be people that he'll put in your life that have wisdom, that have some knowledge, that have some insight, and they're there for you to gravitate to get that information so that you don't slip and fall. When my parents said, don't put your hand on the hot stove, it's going to burn you, and you're a little kid. And I went, what do they know? Wisdom said I should have listened to them. Right? When they speak from their experience, don't go do this or don't go do that because something's not going to work out right for you, yet you still do it. It's called being stupid. That's called learning the hard way. When God, a lot of times, doesn't want you to learn the hard, a lot of times he just wants you to jet through some circumstance, but then you avoid those people that want to come into your life to help you. It's okay to learn some things. Sometimes you have to learn some things. You got to go around the mountain once or twice. Not that God wanted you, but that's just your nature. I've been there. But then there's times he brings men and women or somebody or something to get you through where you need to go. When I became a pastor, I had no clue what to do. I only knew what I've been shown by a few, and I tried to reach out to some pastors that were senior pastors that have been around for 20 or 25 years in this city, not in some other city, because other cities do things different. This city's different than any other city. And I would go reach out and say, hey, I'm a new pastor in town, and I'd like to talk to you. We ain't got no time for you. Yeah, but see, I don't want to fall in the pits that you fell into, and I want to avoid, you know, stumbling or causing a slowdown in the ministry. Couldn't you help me? Hey, I ain't got no time, man. See, I was smart enough to understand that there's some wisdom and knowledge in other people that I can gain so that I don't have to go through what they went through. But some of them just still want you to fall. But when you read the Word, you'll find in the Bible there are many men and women of character. There's many men and women of integrity. There's many men and women that have had made mistakes, but you've seen God still work it out for them. If you read the Word, you can start to get an idea of what to do and what not to do. They may not be in the flesh for you today, but you can use those that information so that you don't fall into the things that they fell into. The last thing I want to share with you, and we're going to go, is leave behind what's limiting you. Leave behind what is limiting you. Leave behind what's slowing you down. The barnacles are in your boat. Sometimes you need to drop everything that you're doing and go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Most of us here today came from a different state or a different country. We came from Michigan. We heard from God, get out of the cold. Amen? Lord, where are you going to take me? I'm going to take you over here. Yeah, but I've never been there. God said He will rarely show you there until you leave here. Let me say that again. God will rarely show you there until you leave here. But Lord, I don't know where I'm going. Faith. Faith. Walking by faith and not by sight. I don't know. But I got to leave here in order to get there. But I don't know what awaits me there. But I know I got to leave some things behind there in order to get where God wants me to be. This scripture, Genesis 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. New King James Version says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, which became Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Didn't tell him where it was at. It says, I'm going to show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and I shall bless you, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed. I would be running out of where I was at, praise God, and departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. When he left, he was 75 years old. Let me stop there. He already had roots. He already had grounded. He was already successful. But God said, get up and go over here. Where's here? I don't know where there over there is, but I got to get there because God said to get there. He didn't see. He said, well, I'll pray about it, Lord, and let me talk to my wife and Ken. And you know, I've been here 75 years. He didn't say that. He said, just go do it. God does not let you grasp the next thing until you release the current thing. Let me say that again, because this is good. God does not let you grasp the next thing until you release the current thing. When my wife and I got the call to come to Reno for a job interview, it was out of the clear blue. I was comfortable. I had a job I was driving an hour and 10 minutes one way to. Putting 60,000 miles on my car. I'd made pretty good money. Had small children. It snowed and it was cold, but I was still getting along. Had a nice house that I just bought like a year before, and I was finishing the basement. I was almost done. I had a soundproof office, so I didn't have to hear the kids scream. I mean, it was soundproof. I had insulation and soundproofing material. I mean, it was great. And I was almost all done, except I had to lay down the carpet, going down the stairs, and then that was it. I had the doors up, the drywall, the electrical done. I had a guy come and do all that, and we worked on it day and night, and day and night, and I get this call. Why don't you come out to Reno? Where's there? Where? I know where Florida is. I know Michigan, and Florida's down here. Reno, where? Well, that's Nevada. Where's that at? So I blew it off. Meanwhile, Pastor Dino was praying, we got to get out of the cold. Kids already got bronchitis and they're always sick. And God was saying that I won't let you grasp the next thing until you release your current thing. But Lord, I'm comfortable in my current thing and I'm all good. I got snowmobiles and toboggans and snow tires. Good. Get the call the second time, a few weeks later. President of the company calls and says, we'd like for you to come. You have this experience we want, and we would like you to come. And I said, well, I got little kids. It's hard for me to get away. I said, I don't make this decision on my own. I got to bring my helpmate, my covenant partner. Because if she smells something that don't smell good, we ain't staying. Because she's going to look out for my best interest. So we get on an airplane, and they fly us both out to Reno. And my wife went all day and look at houses and then went to wherever that place was. That place, Lake Tahoe. She had fun, and I was interviewing with about 10 people. And I said that before we interview, I said, we have to do a dinner with everybody because it'll be somebody my wife don't like. It'll cause me trouble in my job because she's discerning. She'll catch that before I will. I'll walk in, and then I'm in trouble. So we interview, we talk. She said, you might have issues with this one guy, but I think you're okay and this and that. And they said, well, we're going to open up an office in Nevada, in Las Vegas. Would you like to try that? Reno was nice, but it still had snow. And I never seen so many people with pickup trucks with gun racks in the back. And I went, where the heck is a time warp, I heard fiddles in my back. And they go, near, 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 near. So they fly us out the next day and put us up at the Rio. It's 115 degrees, and I've never been in heat like that. And we've seen the palm trees, and my wife says, we have arrived. And I said, Lord, it feels pretty good here. It sure does. So we looked at some houses, and I still wasn't sold, but I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to step out a little bit. But I couldn't grasp the next thing until I released the current thing. I got to pack up a house, and I haven't got to finish my home, and I didn't get laid on a new carpet. I worked all this time, all this hard, but I couldn't get to the next level. I couldn't use the footstool to get to where I needed to go until I released what I already had. So to make a long story short, they worked with me. They gave me a great financial package. They moved us out. They paid for the whole trip out here. Paid for the airfare for my whole family and put us up in a hotel where our house was getting finished up. Bought a home that was like a dream. And the first thing we said, Lord, we give this house to you however you want to use it. Whatever you give me, it's yours. He liked that, and he blessed us. See, God was showing Abraham like he was showing us that sometimes you need to leave some things behind in order to get where God wants you to go. Yeah, we're going to leave family behind. That's hard. We're the first ones moving out of the state. I'm leaving mama and daddy, brother and sister, cousins and relatives. We're going west, young man. We're going west. And it's just like God to get you out of the comfort zone, because when you're out of the comfort zone, that means he's in charge and you're no longer in charge. When you're no longer in charge, he can shine. So we were like Abraham. We we left. Our roots, we were getting rooted. We had a couple children, and we were getting rooted into the system there. And God says, oh, hey, where are we going? He said, I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to come across. But Lord, I'll trust you. I had to leave some things behind. But when you move for God, and God says move, and just do it, he takes care of the rest for you. I still questioned him along the way. Sure, I mean, I got to move my family, and I got to, this is 2,200 miles away. Lord, I'm not going to be able to get together for the family meetings and picnics and all the stuff that we did, the cider mill. God goes, I got better things in store for you. Warm weather, 300 days of the year. Amen. Family will come. They'll be chasing you down once you're bragging about how warm your weather is. But little did we know that we would become pastors of a church. God, see, this was God. I'd never seen that coming. But when you follow the things of God and you step out of your comfort zone and when you allow some things to go, sometimes you got to let some stuff go to get where you need to go. This morning, don't allow the enemy to hinder you from what God's planned for you. Today, take some time to practice your quiet faith. Get alone with God. We spent some time in prayer before we took that job. He said, will you take the job? 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 I said, I got to pray about it. I'm going to go home. We're going to get in a corner. We're going to huddle together. And the two that became one with him, we're going to have a little discussion, a little round table. And said, hey, Lord, in our quiet faith and being silent, we didn't tell everybody because, no, we know there'd be critics. You can't go. You always lived here. Everybody lives here. You can't leave. We didn't respond. We didn't want to cause trouble. We didn't want to cause arguments. We said, okay, Lord, you told us to do it. We're back in the play and we're moving forward. We picked our battles wisely because we knew that there was going to be spoils to gain. And we knew that staying there was going to block us from our future and our purpose. Because we knew some deep down inside of us, there was some greatness inside of us God was trying to pull out. We didn't know it then, but we do now. And we had to use the footstools in life to take us to the new levels where we couldn't reach on our own. So you can experience life, or you can learn it through someone else who has already experienced life. So I asked a person or two along the way before we made the commitment to move to Las Vegas. I had a friend that was in California, and I asked him, I said, I have this opportunity. What do you think? Well, he lived in Michigan for a long time, too. And he said, brother, there isn't going to be a second thought. I know you're moving out. You know not a soul, but you know Jesus. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will take you where he wants to take you. Good enough for me. So I took some wisdom and some advice from somebody who's already experienced it. See, when you study the Word, it places you in a position of power and strength. It never leaves you guessing. But we also have to leave behind what's limiting you. This morning, the devil tries to keep you back and hold you back. But you need to expose yourself to something new in the Word. Take you where God wants to take you. You need to think bigger than what you can do. You got to think what God can do. Because God will be there to exceed all your expectations. But you still need to be able to step out. Was there hindrances? Was there an enemy attack on us? Sure. I didn't see the whole plan. I didn't know, but I knew I had to get there and I had to leave here to get over there. And I had to leave some stuff behind. I had to leave some friendships. I had to leave, business associates. I had to leave some stuff. But God had something new. Sometimes you can't bring the old with you because it contaminates what's new. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin because it'll burst. And it makes a heck of a mess. Sometimes you got to leave the old stuff behind. Sometimes when you go into the mountaintop, you got to leave the donkeys. You know who those people are. Behind so that you can go up to the mountaintop and be alone with God. Well, it's for somebody. God wants to exceed all your expectations. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be blessed, highly favored, and on top. Shout with me this morning, Jesus, thank you for your wisdom and knowledge that you've imparted in me. I will use my quiet faith to silence the enemies in my life. The battles I face will draw me closer to my destiny. I will use the enemy as a footstool to advance me to the next level. I will step on the enemy to get to my destiny. I will leave behind the things that are hindering me from your call and from your plans. Nothing is ever lost when it's placed in Jesus' hands. I'm richly blessed. I'm highly favored. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, give the Lord some praise this morning. Did you get anything? Did you get maybe a little something? A little something? The enemy is there to help propel you to your next level. He's a pawn in the game of chess. And you have the master who's in charge of checkmate. And sometimes he's going to move you where you won't feel comfortable. But he knows the position he's putting you is setting you up for checkmate. So look at that. He's got your best interest in mind. He's got great plans for all of you. He's got greatness inside of you. And guess what? The devil wants to stop that greatness and destiny from coming. I could have said no to that job and would have never come here and would have never met you. I'd have been driving a snowmobile. I would have been frozen. I would have been one of those chosen frozen. Probably still be going to the same church, shouting hallelujah, but it would be a long drive. But then look what God did. We listened. Hello. I had to get over there, but I had to. It's like a squirrel. Has his nuts inside that tree, and he can't get his hand out until he releases it. Then he gets his hand out. He might leave something behind, but what's out there is even better than what was left behind. That's for somebody. Y'all left somewhere to get here. Y'all went through some stuff to get here. You didn't know what road was going to take you and how it was going to get. But look what God did. You didn't know you'd have to leave this to get that. Sometimes it's painful to leave what you know, but with something that you don't know, you know, you're second guessing, but it's even better than what you had. It is. I thought I had it all when I lived and worked for the devil. And then I got a light. And then it's so much better to live in the light. So much better to serve God. I served the devil for a long time. 20-some years of my life. The devil was my friend. But now I got a friend who sticks to me closer than a brother. Looking out for me. Got my backside covered. Making sure nothing's going to penetrate my family. Good choice. So good. I thank you, enemy, for helping me understand that you're just a pawn in the game. Understand that you're still under my feet. You were defeated by my elder brother, Jesus. Family is important. We're in the family of God. You're a king's kid. You can't be defeated. You won't be defeated. You're blessed and highly favored. You're increasing and not decreasing. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in here, and you're even more blessed when you go. You're going to walk in health the rest of your days. Because that's what the Bible says. Because he cares about you. And the devil will throw things against you, but they can't stick. You're like Teflon Don. It just won't stick. Amen. Lord, bless your people as they go forth today. Use them in a mighty way. Let them know, Lord, they've got to leave some things behind in order to get, Lord God, what you have ahead of them. Those, Lord God, across our country, those even in the Bible, had to give away some things, give up some things to get, Lord God, where you wanted them to go and how you blessed them. Even Joseph, Lord God, was sold. Went through all this stuff, but then he was there to help his family years later that were starving. Your plan. Time don't mean nothing to you, Father. We just need to walk in what you've called us to walk in. Do what you've called us to do. Let us use our quiet faith, Lord, to move the mountains and shake, Lord God, the walls of Jericho. Bless us and guide us, direct us, and have your will and your way with us. As we depart from here, Lord God, let us walk with our head up high and a praise in our mouth of the goodness and the mercies of God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen.